This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
اللهم على آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. We've reached the chapter Babu Fadl al-Faqr, the virtue of poverty. And there are several ahadith in it, and we have two more to go before we finish that particular bab chapter in the book of Ar-Riqaq. And the first one for today is Anas radiallahu anhu reporting about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, لم يأكل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على خوان حتى مات. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ate on a floor table. The khiwan is a floor table. Until his death. وَمَا أَكَلَ خُبْزًا مُرَقَّقًا حَتَّى مَاتْ. And he did not eat a flattened, soft bread until his death. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So here he is describing the life of the Prophet, something that was persistent all the way to the death of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first of them is the khiwan. He never ate on a khiwan. The khiwan is, as we said, a table. It's a floor table. You sit on the floor and it elevates the food up to you. So he said he never saw that and he never ate on it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that means that when he would eat, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it would be on the floor. The food would be on the floor. So that is ghayatul tawadu, extreme humility from him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa takhalli an ad-dunya, and forsaking the dunya. So that even that he did not have, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he did not want. He did not possess, and he did not want, or did not want. Wallahu a'lam. وَمَا أَكَلَ خُبْزًا مُرَقَّقًا. He didn't eat flattened bread. So, الخبز المرقق, from the term itself, رقيق, means it's thin. Means it's a bread that had been baked, prepared, flattened, and as you flatten it, it softens. And even till today, there's a bread that they will call riqaq or rgag in some accents, or marquq if you've heard of it. Soft, flat bread, which is what well-prepared bread. So he did not see that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during his lifetime. So here Anas is describing, it's as if you're talking to your kids and you say, when we were growing up, we didn't see these things. Things that they take for granted. Things that they see available. But you say, when we were growing up, we never saw these things. So Anas here is describing, wallahu a'lam, things that they have. The Sahaba after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Tabi'een, they could see it. But he said, you see these things that are available in your homes, that soft bread that you're eating, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see. Did not experience that type of luxury. He did not see it. So consider here, subhanAllah, the luxury that he's talking about compared to us today. We don't only have a khiwan. How many tables do we have at home? Right? And you have tables that could elevate up to you, right? And how many plates do you have at home? And how many types of bread you can buy? You just go to the store and you select the type of bread that suits you, and you come back home and you eat it, and after we eat, we still complain about the fact that we don't have enough. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ, he says, that type of soft bread he never saw. The benefit of these ahadith and similar ahadith that will follow is that, among the benefits of them, is for you to see how hard their life was. And how hard the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, but that he had iman nevertheless, and that if Allah azza wa jal decides to take away some of the dunya from you, it does not take away from his love for you, because the Allah azza wa jal loved his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he did not have the dunya. Either Allah did not give it to him, or he willingly gave it away, gave it up. So if you experience hardship, at least you can remember and you say, well, the Prophet ﷺ never saw this and never ate that and never experienced all of this. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal loved him and Allah Azza wa Jal favored him. And also the benefit of that is to know that even if you go through hardship in life, you could still manage to love Allah and to be pleased with Allah and to have trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your worship of Allah is not dependent on how much He gives you of the dunya. That if He doesn't make me rich, and if He does not give me a wife and a husband, and if He does not give me kids and a house and this and that, then that means I'm angry with Him and He's angry with me. No, despite that hardship, you still worship and you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the dunya is not an indication of the akhirah, or a scale for the akhirah. The next one is from Aisha radiallahu anha, and that she describes what happened to her after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, لَقَدْ تُوفِّيَ النَّبِيُّ وَمَا فِي رَفِّي مِنْ شَيْءٍ يَأْكُلُهُ ذُو كَبِدٍ إِلَّا شَطْرُ شَعِيرٍ فِي رَفٍ لِي. So he said, when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, I didn't have in my home anything that any living being can eat except some sha'ir, some barley. فِي رَفٍ لِي, on a shelf or in a cupboard. So the only thing in the house, again, you need to, like, to actually imagine this. The whole house, it's a small house, but the whole house had nothing in it except what? Sha'ir, barley. That's the only thing that was left. No other type of food available but barley. So she said, فَأَكَلْتُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى طَالَ عَلَيْهِ. I said, she continued to eat from it until, a long time has passed. And she's still eating from it and eats from it and eats and didn't run out. قَالَتْ فَكِلْتُهُ فَفَنِي. She said, I measured it and it ran out. So here, this is a karama for Aisha radiallahu anha, meaning she had some barley. And each day she would take and cook from it, the next day, the third and the fourth and the fifth. And then after some time, she doesn't tell us how many days, but after some time, she thought, how long can I keep eating from that barley? And it still, it keeps giving me, right? How much do I have anyway? So she takes it, she measures it, and when she does that, it soon runs out. Right? Then there's a lesson here. So this, first of all, there's an obvious karama that Allah Azza wa Jal honored Aisha radiallahu anha, that as long as she was taking from it, but not weighing it, it kept giving her. And it kept giving her. And it kept giving her. And who knows, maybe if she didn't weigh it, how long it will continue to give. But when she took it and she weighed it, now she knows exactly what is in it, how many kilograms it was. And now since you know, it runs out. So the scholars have said in explaining it, فَكِلْتُهُ فَفَنِي قَالَ فَكَأَنَّمَا هُوَ إِشَارَةٌ, as if it's an indication or a sign that the reason that it ran out is because she weighed it. Otherwise, if she had left it, it would not. So they say there is benefit in this for actually everyone. That is, don't look with eagerness and greed at what you have. And you weigh it with greed and concern. But rather, let it be and use it, because there will be more barakah in it. So you don't look, for instance, at... Sometimes it's natural to notice that you have 2 cartons or 3 cartons of milk. But without greed, how much milk do we have? Is it half? Is it 1/4? Right? How much did you drink? Oh, alhamdulillah, at least I have 1 left. It says, don't look at it like that. How much barley do we have? How much wheat do we have? How much? 1 bag, 2 bags? Is it half a bag? It says, don't look with such concern on what you own. Because if you weigh it, if you count, right, then it will run out quickly because there is no barakah in it. But if you just look the other way and you use it and you keep using it, there will be more barakah in what you have. As the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا تُحْصِي فَيُحْصِي اللَّهُ عَلَيْكِ. It says, and don't count, that when you give, don't count, meaning dollar, $2, right? $3. Or you're counting and it's hard for you to give. لا تحصي. Don't count and limit what you give, Because if you do, Allah will count and limit what He gives you. But if you give in abundance, Allah gives you what? In abundance. If you restrict your giving, then the giving will be restricted when it comes your way. Right? And I thought maybe also another benefit. So, inshallah, this is really, I mean, for me, it was an important lesson. That is, don't look with concern and greed at what you have. But let it be, and use it. And let others in your family use it. Not mine and yours. Let them use it. There'll be more barakah in it. And I thought maybe an added benefit in it for those who use social media. If you post, right? Don't look at how many likes and views and engagements you have. There'll be no barakah in it. Post it, if it's for Allah's sake, post it and don't look back. Right? It fits, right? I think it fits. Wallahu alam. But if it's true, it will free you from the pressure of they liked it or didn't like it. And there will be more barakah in it. Wallahu alam. Now, the next one. The next chapter. بَابٌ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَيْشُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابِهِ وَتَخَلِّهِمْ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا. It says, how was the living of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? How did they used to live? The Prophet and the companions. And how did they forsake the dunya? Leave it behind them. Not care for it. Then they want to tell us how. So here, the story is the story of Abu Huraira. He's the narrator of the hadith. Kind of the main figure in it. And he says about himself. He says, Allahi, الذي لا إله إلا هو. He's swearing by Allah. By saying, by Allah, the one who there is no ilah but He. Says He just really wants you to listen and understand what He went through and this incident. إن كنت لأعتمد بكبدي على الأرض من الجوع. He says, out of hunger, I used to lie on the ground. Okay? My stomach against the ground, out of hunger. They said, why did he used to do this? He said, either because he used to faint, and he used to faint, radiallahu anhu, out of hunger, or because he would be so hungry, he would press his stomach against the floor, against the ground, right? Explaining, and the next part of it explains it more. وَإِنْ كُنْتُ لَأَشُدُّ الْحَجَرَ عَلَىٰ بَطْنِي مِنَ الْجُوعِ. And I used to fasten and tie a stone around my stomach or on my stomach and then fasten it around out of hunger. Why? When you're too hungry, you need something to press your stomach inward. And they say that if you are really hungry, you can't stand up straight. Right? If you are really hungry, like your stomach is really empty, you cannot stand up straight. So it was the habit of the Arabs who used to experience hunger that they would take stones, put them on their stomachs and tie something around. And there is a hadith when the Prophet ﷺ came out once and he met Abu Bakr and Umar. And Abu Bakr had a stone that he had tied around his stomach. Umar had a stone that he tied upon his stomach. The Prophet ﷺ had two. And all three were hungry. And they had to use that in order just to suppress their hunger and be able to stand up straight. So he said, I used to do this. Either use the ground to press against my stomach or have a stone and wrap that around my body, around my waist. And he said, وَلَقَدْ قَعَدْتُ يَوْمًا عَلَىٰ طَرِيقِهِمُ الَّذِي يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهِ. And he says, one of those days I sat at the path that they used to take, meaning people used to take from the masjid or out of the masjid, or a common path that they would walk. فَمَرَّ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا سَأَلْتُهُ إِلَّا لِيُشْبِعَانِي. He says, Abu Bakr passed, and I asked him about an ayah from the book of Allah. I says, I didn't ask him except so that he would feed me. Did he ask him for food? No. Right? That's the honor of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. You know how hungry he was. So he sat there, and Abu Bakr passes, and he asks him a religious question. He says, I didn't ask him a religious question to know the answer. I asked him so that after he answers it, he would say what? Follow me home. So that he could feed him. And that's what he wanted. But he was too honorable to say, please give me. هذا تعريض. هذا تعريض. It's a sign that he wants to. It's an implicit request, but it's not an explicit one. So he doesn't embarrass anyone and does not demean himself. He's just asked. قال فمر ولم يفعل. He says he passed and he did not take me with him. They say, why did he not? He says, he didn't know. He just thought it was a question and he kept going. Or they said that he didn't have food. So that's another possibility. ثم مر بعمر فسألته عن آية من كتاب الله ما سألته إلا ليشبعني فمر فلم يفعل. And Umar passed and I asked him a question about an ayah from the book of Allah. I only asked him so that he would take me and feed me. And he didn't do that. Again, for the same reasons, he didn't know. ثم مر بي أبو القاسم صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who's Abu al-Qasim? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, right? قال فتبسم حين رآني. He smiled when he saw me. وعرف ما في نفسي وما في وجهي. And he knew what was with me and what was with my face. Kind of he recognized that you are hungry. He knew that from him. So he smiled. So they said, Abahir. Okay. Abahir, he called him. And that is a beautiful name to call Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He's Abu Huraira, but he called him Abahir. It's a soft, sweet name. He says, I am here, O Messenger of Allah. He says, follow. Follow me. وَمَضَى فَتَبِعْتُهُ فَدَخَلَ فَاسْتَأْذَنَ فَأَذِينَ لِي. He says, then he entered his house. Then I asked for permission to enter, and he gave me permission. قَالَ فَوَجَدَ لَبَنًا فِي قَدَحْ. So he found milk in a bowl. So he said, where is this? Where did this milk come from? They said, so and so gave it as a gift to you. So and so, a male or female, gave it as a gift for you. He said, Abahir. I said, I'm here, O Messenger of Allah. He said, Ilhaq ila ahli suffa fad'uhum li. He says, go to ahli suffa and invite them. Abu Hurairah says, وَأَهْلُ الصُّفَّةِ أَضْيَافُ الْإِسْلَامِ. The people of Suffa are the guests of Islam. He says, they don't have a family, and they don't have money, and no one to take care of. So who are the people of Suffa that are going to be invited to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? These are migrants. They arrive to Medina. So they have no family to support them and give them residence. And they have no money, and they have nothing with them. So where's the only place for them to stay? The masjid. The masjid. So no residence, no money, no family. So they only stay in the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ, as he explains here, إِذَا أَتَتْهُ صَدَقَةً بَعَثَ بِهَا إِلَيْهِمْ. If he receives a sadaqah, the Prophet receives a sadaqah, he channels that to them. He sends it to them. وَإِذَا وَلْمْ يَتَنَاوَلْ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا. And he doesn't eat any of it. So sadaqah, the Prophet ﷺ does not take. وَإِذَا أَتَتْهُ هَدِيَّةٌ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَأَصَابَ مِنْهَا وَأَشْرَكَهُمْ فِيهَا. And if he receives a gift, he will send some of that to them, and he will keep some to himself. So a gift, he will be a partner in that. But a sadaqah will be entirely given to them. So he says, invite the people of As-Suffa. So he says, فَسَاءَنِي ذَلِكَ. He says, that bothered me. That request from the Prophet ﷺ bothered me. سَاءَنِي ذَلِكَ. فَقُلْتُ وَمَا هَذَا اللَّبَنُ فِي أَهْلِ الصُّفَّةِ. He says, how is this milk gonna satisfy all the people of As-Suffa? كنت أحق أنا أن أصيب من هذا اللبن شربة أتقوى بها. He says, I was more worthy to get some of that milk, at least one sip that will what nourish me, give me strength. فإذا جاء أمرني فكنت أعطيهم. And then after that, I can bring them and then I can serve and I can give to them. But first I, and then what? Them. Because I'm here already and I am so desperately hungry. وَمَا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْلُغَنِي مِنْ هَذَا اللَّبَنِ. But if you invite all of them, will I get any of it? That's what he's saying to himself. But he says, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ بُدْ. But I had no option except to obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Here, subhanAllah, you know, Abu Huraira, did he like that command so much? No. But he followed it, right? And so, Allah's commands and the Prophet ﷺ commands are not always going to make sense to you, by the way. Like here, you will see the outcome. You may already know it. They're not always going to make sense to you. And they're not always going to be appealing. But then if you say to yourself, as he said, I have to follow Allah and His Messenger ﷺ, and you put their command first, you'll get the best of this dunya and in the akhirah. Even though this is not to your liking. You with me? And not every single command that you'll find in the Quran and the Sunnah, you say, that's something I like. Some of these things are hard. Some of these things are difficult. Some of these things are things you do not understand. Some of these things might be things that you say, they bother me. But if you follow, you'll understand. So what happens? قَالَ فَأَتَيْتُهُمْ فَدَعَوْتُهُمْ فَأَقْبَلُوا فَاسْتَأْذَنُوا فَأَذِينَ لَهُمْ. He invited them, they entered the house. وَأَخَذُوا مَجَالِسَهُمْ. Then they sat down. And the Prophet ﷺ said, يَا أَبَا هِرْ قُلْتُ لَبَّيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, take and give them to drink. قَالَ فَأَخْتُ الْقَدَحِ. He says, so I took this bowl and I gave, فَجَعَلْتُ أُعْطِيهِ الرَّجُلِ فَيَشْرَبُ حَتَّى يَرْوَى ثُمَّ يَرُدُّ عَلَيَّ الْقَدَحَ. I would give it to one man. He would drink from it until he is full. Then he would give it back to me. Then I give him the next person. And he will drink from it until he is full. And he gives it back to me. And so on and so on. حَتَّى انْتَهَيْتُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ. Until, I mean, I fed everybody. Everybody drank until the Prophet ﷺ was left. And everybody was full. So I gave it to the Prophet ﷺ. قَالَ فَأَخَذَ الْقَدَحَ فَوَضَعَهُ عَلَى يَدِهِ. So he took this bowl and he put it on his hand. Then he looked at me and smiled. And he said, أَبَاهِرْ. It's as if he's telling you, I know what you're thinking, right? And it's coming your way. I know what you're thinking. So he says, I'm here, O Prophet of Allah. He says, بَقِيتُ أَنَا وَأَنْتُ. I and you are left. He said, you spoke the truth, O Messenger of Allah. He said, sit down and drink. So he says, فَقَعَدْتُ فَشَرِبْتُ. I sat down and I drank. فَقَالَ اشْرَبْ. He says, drink. Like when he stops, he says, drink. So he would drink. فَمَا زَالَ يَقُلْ اشْرَبْ. He continued to go, drink. No, drink. No, keep drinking. حَتَّى قُلْتُ. Until I said, لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أَجِدُ لَهُ مَسْلَكَ. He says, by the one who had sent you the truth, I can't fit any more inside. That's it. I'm like very full. That's it. قال فأرني. قال show me. قال so I show them the bowl. قال فحطيت القدح. قال فحمد الله. He praised Allah عز وجل. He said بسم الله وشرب الفضل. And he drank what has remained in it. So obviously this is a, what do you call it, a mu'jiza, a favor from Allah عز وجل to His Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that all of them drank from the same bowl and all of them got full drinking from that. But the barakah here is the barakah of listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Had Abu Huraira, and he would never do this, but had Abu Huraira decided, no, I will not listen, he would have missed all of this. But he said, I'll listen to Allah and I'll listen to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw this miracle with his own eyes. And seeing something like this increases your iman tremendously. And increases your certainty in the Prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tremendously. But it requires of you what? Faith and sacrifice and willingness to follow. And then Allah will show you more than what you've expected. And it tells you about the hardship that all of them went through, including Abu Huraira, that he would be so hungry, as we said, that he would fall down and faint. Or that he would have to tie stones around his stomach, radiallahu anhu, out of hunger. But none of these things dissuaded them from following the truth or following the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. None of that. So hardship, no matter who you are, will come your way. The fact or the thing is that you'd have to expect it and adjust your expectations so that you would understand that no matter what happens, Allah is more precious and Iman is more precious. And if you hold on to that, eventually that hardship will disappear. Sickness will go away. Poverty will go away. Distress of any kind will go away. And what remains is Iman and your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what happened with them. So it's beautiful to hear, but as you experience it, remember these stories. That's why we are telling these stories and their life. As we want that when we experience hardship, to remember what they've gone through and follow the same path and say, they survived it, and inshaAllah, by the will of Allah and His help, we will be of those who survive it as well. Now, I mean, there are some other benefits in it, inshaAllah, but this is plenty, inshaAllah, in commenting about this story. A next hadith, or the next, statement of the Sahabi, comes from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And he says about himself, إِنِّي لَأَوَّلُ الْعَرَبِ رَمَى بِسَهْمٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He says, I'm the first among the Arab to throw an arrow for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning that he was among the first to be sent in one of these saraya. And in that small sariya, he threw an arrow and was the first arrow to be thrown for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says that about himself. وَرَأَيْتُنَا نَغْزُو. And I remember us, I witnessed us, نَغْزُو, going on in jihad. وَمَا لَنَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا وَرَقُ الْحُبْلَةِ وَهَذَا السَّمُرُ. When we're going on jihad, traveling for jihad, he says, we had no food except leaves of particular thorny trees and plants. That's when they're traveling, they have no food with them. So what's the only food that they eat? There will be some thorny plants. They will take those leaves and they will eat that. That's the only thing that they eat. And he says, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَنَا لَيَضَعُ كَمَا تَضَعُ الشَّاتُ مَا لَهُ خِلْطُ. He says, because of eating that, when we relieve ourselves, we have droppings, or excrements, like the droppings of sheep. I don't know if you've seen droppings of sheep. You know how round it is, right? So he says, when we would relieve ourselves, our excrements look like that because of how hard and dry our food is. Like animals, right? So you can describe, you can understand how difficult it was on their bodies. And when you just read this, you can read it and keep reading. But imagine if you were to eat like this, Allahu alam, how many days and weeks, what will it do to your body? What pain you may have, what discomfort you may experience, how do you sleep, how do you wake up, how it messes your biology. But they endured and they were patient because they sacrificed for something greater. So it's, subhanAllah, if the thing that you're sacrificing for is great and beloved, you can sacrifice. So he says, ثُمَّ أَصْبَحَتْ بَنُوا أَسَدٍ تُعَزِّرُنِي عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And then Banu Asad, the children of Asad, after all of this are trying to teach me Islam. خِبْتُ إِذًا وَضَلَّ سَعِي. Then misguided I am and lost is my effort. What Sa'ad radiallahu anhu is describing is that later on, he becomes Amir al-Kufa, the prince of Kufa. And Banu Asad is an Arab tribe. And its history was that after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, many of them apostated and they followed an imposter who claimed prophethood. But then they repented, they became good Muslims, and then a lot of them moved to al-Kufa in Iraq. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas became the Amir in Kufa. And then after some time, they started to complain about him. And one of these complaints, right, which obviously was a lie, was that he doesn't know how to pray. Salah, right? He doesn't know how to pray. That's why Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu, is saying, he says, do you know right? Of my history, like how early my Islam was. I'm the first person to throw an arrow for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. In our ghazawat, in our jihad, we used to go through all this. And then you come and tell me, and you trying to teach me Islam, khibtu idhan, misguided I am, that if I don't know how to pray after all of this, if I don't know Islam after all of this. So the question that some ask here is that, how is it that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas can brag about this? How could he? We're not supposed to brag, right? He said, this, what is the intent behind it? If the intent behind it is not arrogance, but rather to prove what is right and just disprove what is wrong, you're allowed to do this, right? And if somebody, as a scholar, let's say, and he arrives in a place, and a lot of them are ignorant, and they're not learning from him, he's allowed to say, I know so much and so much of the Quran, and so much of the Sunnah, and my teachers are this and this and this and this. He's allowed to describe his excellence so that they would learn from him. So if the intent is good, it's allowed. But bragging for the sake of what, elevating yourself and arrogance, is haram. But if you do it for good reasons, then that's allowed. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas did it for a good reason, radiyallahu anhu. But again, that part about the hardship that they experienced in the beginning of Islam is what is intended from Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in inclusion of that statement from Sa'd. The following ones are similar in that they describe the food of the Prophet ﷺ and his family. So Aisha said, مَا شَبِعَ آلُ مُحَمَّدٍ مُنْذُ قَدِمَ الْمَدِينَةَ مِنْ طَعَامِ بُرٍ ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ تِبَاعًا حَتَّى قُبِضْ. He says, the family of Muhammad ﷺ never had their full, or never got full of wheat 3 days, three consecutive days, from the time that he came to Medina until his death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they did not have enough wheat. Yani khubz, bread. That's what it is, right? So they did not have enough of it for 3 days consecutively from the time he came to Medina, and for 10 years, for the time he came to Medina till his death. So that if they had enough bread, let's say, or enough wheat for 1 day, or if they had it for 1 day and the next, they wouldn't have it for the third. So that's it, right? So that's how little they had. So if they used it for 1 day, that was it. If they used it for 2 days, that's it. But 3 days of bread or 3 days of wheat, there's nothing. So if you go and they'll open the cupboard of the Prophet ﷺ in his home, there will not be enough for 3 days, right? And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. You know, open our pantries, open our fridges, what do we have it for? A week and more. And it's not a problem. Even if you don't have it, you can just go, drive, get it, and come back. So the idea of not having enough is really very, very foreign to us. Very foreign to us. You know how we panicked during the pandemic because of lack of food? Chicken, where are we going to get chicken, right? So it's like the idea of not having enough, that's very foreign to us. But that he would open his, not enough in there to feed them for more than 2 days. Aisha also continues, and she said, that's a different narration. مَا أَكَلَ آلُ مُحَمَّدٍ أَكْلَتَيْنِ فِي يَوْمٍ إِلَّا إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْرٍ. He said, the Al of Muhammad, the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't eat two meals a day, except that one of them had to be dates. That's the least. So if they eat, let's say for instance, bread, the other one is what? Dates. If there is meat in one of them, the other one is dates. Again, that's the very basic of food that you could find in Medina. And he also, she said, radiyallahu anha, kana firashu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min adamin wa hashwuhu min leaf. She said the bedding or the mattress of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from leather. So animal hide that was tanned. So animal hide that was tanned and is stuffed with palm fiber. So you take the fiber, right, from the palm tree. You take the fiber and there is this hide or this leather, you would stuff it, sew it, and that is it. That is his bedding, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, how simple that was. Very simple. And even though it is not as hard as the floor, it still is not that soft. Soft enough, but it's still not that soft. And also, this is from Anas ibn Malik. Then we come to Aisha again. So Qatada said, قَالَ كُنَّ نَأْتِي أَنَسَ بْنَ مَالِكٍ وَخَبَّازُهُ قَائِمٍ. He says, we used to visit Anas ibn Malik, رضي الله عنه, and the baker and his baker is standing beside him, the one who is making the bread and baking the bread, standing beside him. وَقَالَ كُلُوا, and he would say, eat. فَمَا أَعْلَمُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَأَى رَغِيفًا مُرَقَّقًا حَتَّى لَحِقَ بِاللَّهِ. He says, I don't know that the Prophet ﷺ saw a flat, soft bread until he passed away. وَلَا رَأَ شَاتًا سَمِيطًا بِعَيْنِهِ قَطْ. And he did not see a sha. سَمِيطًا بِعَيْنِهِ قَطْ. Again, what's a sha? You know that. A sheep. Zakar al-Khair. I don't know why that escaped me. So a sheep, right? Roasted sheep. But what is samit? Samit is a sheep that had been treated so that you would remove all of its hair. You know how, for instance, you've probably seen it with chicken. They dip it in hot water, they remove all the feathers, and then they sell it or they cook it. They do something similar with the sheep. They put it in hot water so that they could remove the hair, okay, the fur of the animal, and then they would roast it and barbecue it. That is Shat Samit. He says he never saw that with his own eyes ever. So I do not know. It could be that when they roasted, they didn't do this. Right? They tried their best with their own hands, or they skinned it or what. But they didn't do this and they just roasted it. So whatever they ate was very simple. Untreated. Right? Very simple and untreated. You wouldn't imagine eating something like that today, right? And our palate would not accept it. But that's what he said, rahimahullah, right? So there was no takalluf in the meals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was very, very simple time. She says, Aisha radiallahu anha, in the next statement, قَالَ كَانَ يَأْتِي عَلَيْنَا الشَّهْرُ مَا نُوقِلُ فِيهِ نَارًا. A month would pass, we wouldn't light a fire. إِنَّمَا هُوَ التَّمْرُ وَالْمَاء. We would only eat water or drink water and eat dates. إِلَّا أَن نُؤْتَ بِاللُّحَيْنِ. Unless we'd be gifted a little bit of meat. So a whole month without fire in the house. So what are you eating every day? Dates. Water and dates. Second, water and dates. Third, water and dates. Try it. Try it, right? Not even water and dates. Just pick one meal. Just pick one thing. Peanut butter and jelly, right? Whatever you want. Just pick one thing. And try eating it every single day. Lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner, lunch, dinner. What happens to you? Can you imagine it? Can you imagine it? Even something as soft as white bread, peanut butter and jelly. Can you just imagine that? He said, I'm going to die. Give me something else. I need some meat. He says, okay, dates and water, dates and water, dates and water. That's an entire month. Right? إِلَّا أَن نُوتَ بِاللُّحَيْمِ. Unless somebody gifts us a little bit of meat. They'll eat that and that is it. So you understand that they were not men and women of the dunya. And he didn't wake up thinking about, what am I going to eat today? Planning your meal. Right? Or for instance, you know, you watched, I'm not condemning this, I'm just contrasting. Right? Or you're watching, you know, how to cook meals online, and you go on and you buy the ingredients and you cook it. Again, it's not haram, but I'm just telling you that contrast, this to that. Or you're watching food videos and you say, oh yeah, I want to cook this pasta and this pizza and this, that, and this, that. And you're thinking about next week, I'm going to go to this restaurant to try this new cuisine. And right? They're not men and women of the dunya. That's not what occupies them. And the Prophet ﷺ, as said about them authentically, he would pass by the house. Do you have food today? No? I'll fast. Right? That's it. Do you have food? Not like, do you have that particular dish that I like? Did you make it? No, do you have anything? No? Fine, I'll fast. Yes, he'll eat it. What is available? Dates. So, again, it's good, subhanAllah, so just so you appreciate the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so that also you understand that at one point, I think, wallahu a'lam, at one point in the future of this world and in the future of Muslims, we would have to re-experience some of this hardship in order to restore justice to this world, right? Yani, if not us, the next generation or the next generation, that they will have to experience real hardship in order for the truth to come back. So you can't be enjoying, you know, all these things, all these luxuries and think that, oh, we will command good and forbid evil and with comfort. It can't be. There has to be real discomfort coming our way if we want the right thing to happen. So just so that at least mentally, right? Mentally, if not even physically, but at least mentally to be ready for it. The next one, Aisha says to Urwa, Ibn Ukhti, he says, my nephew, son of my sister, إن كنا لننظر إلى الهلال ثلاثة أهلة في شهرين وما أوقدت في أبيات رسول الله نار. He said, we used to look at the hilal, three hilals in two months, meaning the beginning of the month, the beginning of the next month, and the beginning of the third month, meaning one hilal, two hilal, three hilals, right? 2 months. And there would be no fire lit in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, what sustained you? Yani, Urwa now wonders. So you see, things changed. Even from when he came to the Tabi'een, things really changed that he had to ask. So what sustained you? If for 2 months there would be no fire in your house, what did you eat? How did you live? She said, Al-aswadan, at-tamru wal-ma. He says, just dates and water. Illa annahu, except that the Prophet ﷺ had neighbors that were Ansar. وَكَأَنَ لَهُمْ مَنَائِحْ. And these you have camels that they would milk. وَكَانُوا يَمْنَحُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَبْيَاتِهِمْ فَيَسْقِينَ. And they used to give us sometimes milk. And the Prophet ﷺ would feed us that. For 2 months, meaning sometimes we would have some camel milk, otherwise it's dates and water, dates and water. And that was enough for them. And the last in this chapter, inshallah, and for tonight, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma arzuq ala Muhammadin quta. He said, Ya Allah, provide a qut, a sufficient food and drink for the Al of Muhammad. And in another narration, it says, Allahumma ij'al rizqa ali Muhammadin quta. Ya Allah, make the provision of Al of Muhammad qut. The qut is what is sufficient for them. Not more and not less. And that is here one of the evidence that some scholars consider in stating that it's not poverty that is best or being rich that is best, but having sufficient food and drinks, sufficient money for your day. They say because that avoids the excesses and the dangers of poverty and wealth. If you don't have money, you don't have food, you don't have enough, you're thinking about it because you're hungry. You don't have enough for your bills, you don't have enough to feed your children, so your mind is preoccupied, your heart is preoccupied. So it's hard for you to worship Allah Azza wa Jal with clarity, with ease. And if you have a lot, more than the needs of that particular day, you're worried about it. You worry about the extra dollar, the extra food that you have. But if you have enough for your day, then you can eat, you can drink, it could be sufficient, and then you could give the rest to Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning your attention, the rest for Allah Azza wa Jal, and the next day will bring its own provisions. So each day will have its provision. So he prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Al of Muhammad will have sufficiency, not less and not more. And they said, he would only ask for the best for them. If you wish something for your family, for your children, you wish for the best. So he said that he would only wish for the best for them. That's the, what they said, it is the best. Keeping in mind also at the same time, that is among the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning among people, are those who need more poverty than wealth. And only poverty works for them. And there are among people are those who need wealth more than poverty, and only wealth works for them. And Allah Azza wa Jal knows best, right? So that's why Allah, one of the reasons why Allah Azza wa Jal varies the provisions among people is that, and this is an athar, it's not a hadith, it's an athar, but it says that among my slaves are those who, if I give them money, it will corrupt them. And among my slaves are those whom if I take money from them, it will corrupt them. So for some people, if they're poor, it doesn't really work for them. But if they are rich, they're pious and they are giving and they are generous, and the opposite. There are those who, when they are poor, they're close to Allah Azza wa Jal, but if you give them money, it will play with their heads. So Allahu A'lam, there's not one single thing that works for everybody here, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal varies in his provisions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said, inshaAllah, we will pause this series, bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jal, and we'll return after Ramadan, after Eid, inshaAllah. So let's see, inshaAllah, if you have questions or things you would want to add or would want me to add, inshaAllah. Let me know. Tafaddali. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa iyaakum. Naam, comment. Naam. Naam. Sahih. Sahih. Jazakallah khair. So the brother explains here that he lives next to a supermarket, and he says every night when he goes back home, he notices that they throw out all the excess, all the old bread. You said bread and milk, right? Or only bread? Bread. So all the old bread, they throw it away in the dumpster. So he says, consider how much excess we have and how much we waste. There is a lot of food that we waste. So subhanAllah, we don't recognize the ni'mah. And again, because we have a lot of it. And when you have a lot of something, you don't realize the importance of every single thing that you have. Not until what? You lose it. And then you start dreaming and thinking about, remember the time when we used to have so much and we used to be ungrateful and we would throw it away. And now I wish I could see this and taste that. So, Jazakallah khair. This is a good reminder that a ni'mah la tadum. Ni'mah doesn't last. And if you don't preserve it and if you don't protect it, it will slip away from our hands. Barakallahu fik. Na, tafaddal. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Sahih. Sahih. Musab, Zakallah khair. So I just your comment first, let's I repeat it so that people will hear it. He said, Zakallah khair, is that the reason why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were saying that the Prophet never saw this and that, is that they acquired new lands, and with that came new wealth and new ways of doing things. So they saw new things and more luxuries that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never saw, and that is absolutely true. They saw new food, right? More luxury, more money. So, and the Prophet ﷺ and the early companions never saw any of that. But of course, they and then their children are seeing it. And they want to remind them that the way we started wasn't like this. Barakallahu fiq. Naam, the life of Mus'ab ibn Umayr, radiallahu anhu, as we said, we mentioned his story. I mentioned a little bit about him last week when we said that he, radiallahu anhu, is an example of those who died early and did not get anything back from his hijrah, from his Islam. He didn't see money, he didn't see wealth, he didn't see glory. He died in the Battle of Uhud, radiallahu anhu. So Mus'ab was a very early Muslim, very early Muslim. So he used to meet among the early Muslims in Darul Arqam, and they would discuss Islam and learn it and worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So very early Muslim, and he is noted to have come from a wealthy family, and he lived in luxury. It is said that if Mus'ab ibn Umayr would come, he would know that he is coming from the perfume that he had on. So his mother would spoil him, radiallahu anhu, the best of clothes and the best of perfume. But he yet wanted to accept Islam. And he accepted Islam. And his mother gave him an ultimatum. Either you accept Islam, either you reject Islam, or I deny you all of this. All of that money. And all of a sudden, Mus'ab ibn Umayr became penniless. He didn't have anything. Because he said, no, I want to continue to be Muslim. So they took all of that money away. And he lived without it. In hardship and in poverty, radiallahu anhu, in Mecca. And then he had to migrate to Al-Habasha, to Abyssinia. And in there, right, you know, to run away with family, with his religion, and he stayed there. And then he came back to Mecca. And when the good news from Medina was starting to come, that there were people who were interested in Islam, and a delegation came, and then another delegation came, the Prophet ﷺ sent Mus'ab ibn Umayr to teach them Quran. So he was the first teacher, wallahu a'lam, who was sent to Medina to teach them Quran. And he taught them Quran over there. And when the battle of Uhud came, he was carrying the liwa, or the flag, or the banner of Muslims in the battle. And he was killed in it. And as we said in the hadith, that when they wanted to shroud him, they wanted to find a kafan for him, the only thing that he had was a namira, was just a piece of clothing that was square, not long enough to cover the whole body. If you cover the head, the legs would be exposed, or the feet would be exposed. You cover the feet, the head would be exposed. That's the only thing that he had, the only thing that he owned, radiallahu anhu. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, no, cover the head and put some grass to cover his feet, radiallahu anhu. So that's an example of someone. And I think, wallahu a'lam, that's not 100% sure, he was in his 40s when he died. So probably I'm thinking that when he accepted Islam, he was young. He was a young man when he accepted Islam. And when he rejected the traditions of his family and their pressure, he was a very young man. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal ثَبَّتَ قَلْبَهُ, he stabilized his heart, he confirmed his heart upon the truth. But he paid a price for it. And the price is all that money and all that connections and all those connections and luxury went away as soon as he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And that's why Khabbab is saying there are some of us who migrated with the Prophet ﷺ and didn't get anything in return for it. Mus'ab is one of them. He didn't see any sweetness of the dunya come his way out of his decision to be Muslim. So as we said, some of us will be like that. And it does not diminish you when that's the case. You may give a lecture, you may give da'wah, you may give sadaqah, and you may see nothing in return for it. Right? But it doesn't diminish what you've given. And you shouldn't compare yourself to other people and you said, well, so-and-so got followers, or so-and-so got good responses, or so. It doesn't matter. If what you do is for Allah Azza wa Jal, you may or may not see something in return. But what matters is that you've done it lillah Azza wa Jal. And sometimes, as Khabbab was reminiscing, sometimes not receiving anything back is better. Because then all of your reward is with Allah Azza wa Jal. All of it. Right? Allahu A'lam. So that's what I have about Mus'ab. Barakallahu fik. Any other question that brothers you have? I don't think so. Tayyib, inshallah. So a reminder, inshallah, we'll be having a lecture, inshallah, on Sunday about Ramadan, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal. All is invited. It'll be after Maghrib, inshallah. So we say سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك أتوب إليك والحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll see you إن شاء الله بإذن الله عز وجل after Eid بإذن الله. بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم.